Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
No, no, no. No, mini crushing. I think that should be our new theme.
Or it should at least be like a segment theme. I don't know. I like that, Chuck. That was good. Yeah, should the mini crushes have a separate theme than the regular movie crush episodes? Are people tired of the gloomy synth?
No, I don't think so.
I hope not. I listened to it the other day, and I'm like, this holds up. It holds up. I'm really proud of that one.
Yeah. It's not old after a year and a half.
Well, I feel good about that, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah?
I'm as good as I was 7 minutes ago when we stopped recording our last episode.
I thought things maybe had taken a dive since then.
No, I'm actually really good.
I'm good, too.
You know, things are winding down for me in being back in the house. I'm getting more settled. I feel like I had about an 8 to 10 month period of anxiety, low-level anxiety. Well, let's be honest. I've had a very low-level anxiety since
high school?
Our last presidential election.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So there's just an undercurrent of anxiety.
There really is.
I think a lot of people are living with.
It ebbs and flows.
It ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
But I'm getting settled back in. We got these goddamn kittens. And like I'm feeling like, all right, I've got a hold of things.
Mm-hmm.
We're ahead on Movie Crush by like 3 episodes.
That's great.
That's like a big deal.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good too, man.
I didn't ask, Noel.
Well, then now I feel terrible.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Things are good. Let's see. Yeah, things are good, man. I've got a lot of interesting work stuff going on. I'm working on some interesting projects and obviously still enjoy the hell out of doing this. And
how's your love life?
The girl I was seeing for quite some time and I broke up and
so you're single?
I'm sort of hanging out with somebody. I'm trying not to like dive headlong into anything, but like
sure.
I met somebody really cool who's like a photographer and like in kind of like the local lit scene, like does like all these like, you know, literary events, like readings and stuff.
Yeah.
And also does like kind of performance art and just kind of a hustler and interesting person. And so we're just kind of chilling, hanging out, taking it easy.
Noel, I have noticed that you tend to not jump into like rush into things, but you're not alone much.
I am a serial monogamous, Chuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a hopeless romantic.
Are you bad alone?
Nah, I don't know. I should probably do better at being alone.
Yeah.
But I enjoy having a partner. I'm at an age, too, where I am absolutely – that is something that I want
sure.
to have. You know?
You want to be married again.
I don't know if I want to be married. Maybe I do. I don't know.
It's all about the person, you know.
You gotta find the right person. But I'm at a point, too, where I'm not going to take any bullshit, and mm-hmm. I am not going to settle, and I'm going to, like, find the thing that is right for me
and my kid
and, like, everything in my life, you know? Not that I'm,
like,
the end-all, be-all, but I think I deserve something that's right for me, and I'm going to find it, goddamn.
You are Noel. Hear you roar.
Hear me roar. Rawr.
Well, thanks for getting personal.
You know, I'm always happy to do it.
I like hearing these stories when you've been married for 95 years. You like hearing what's going on out there in the world.
Yeah, there's things.
There's things?
There's things and stuff. What you got today, Chuck?
Oh, yeah. Moving on.
What you got for us?
We are going to go, Noel, to an older social studies post from a long time ago.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
That we haven't touched on except for the one time. And that is bad accents.
Yes.
Worst accent in a movie. It's amazing to me, after all these years, you can put so much money into a film and still cast an actor who can't do the accent required.
Yeah.
When there are plenty of people that can.
Totally. We talked about this briefly and just going to mention it really quickly. Chernobyl, they chose to avoid that pratfall by just having British actors instead of everybody trying to do a Czech accent.
Right.
Which I thought was an interesting choice because it took a minute to get used to. But then once you got used to it, it was
seamless. You got to just pick your path and commit to it.
Yep.
Unless it's something really weird. Like in the, you know, I talked about it before as well in the Tom Cruise Hitler movie. Project.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
whatever.
About. Yeah, exactly.
He speaks German in the very beginning of the film as a voiceover, and it literally segues into English with his regular accent. And that was their way of just saying, like, he's German, and here's how we're going to do this.
Tom Cruise doesn't really do accents, does he? I don't think of him as an accent guy.
He's not an accent guy.
Yeah.
I bet you he's probably not great at it.
Yeah.
Although, did he do one in Far and Away? Did he do, like, an Irish thing?
Oh.
I haven't seen that in a long,
maybe.
Long time.
I know that Nicole Kidman did.
Well, she did an Irish as an Aussie.
I think so. I mean, you know, maybe he did do it. I think you're right. I think he did. But I haven't seen that in a long time.
He hasn't done that
much. He sort of did a bit of a thing in Interview with the Vampire. It wasn't like a British accent, but it was sort of like a...
I think he talked like
exactly.
This.
Oh.
Have you ever seen Top Gun? I'm going ballistics.
Oh, that's pretty good, Chuck. That's true. All classic vampire accent.
So let's talk about some of
these. Let's do it.
Our old friend Anna Sarek says, any actor doing or trying to do an Aussie accent. All right.
It's true.
I mean, it's a tougher one to pull off.
It's a tougher one to pull off. And, yeah, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like in a movie where like a clearly non-Aussie actor or actress did.
I can't think of one. That Crocodile Dundee guy, he was Australian.
He really was.
That's the only Australian movie I can think of.
You call that a knife? Even, but that's the problem there, though. That accent was just so over the top, and his character was so over the top, Mr. Australia,
exactly.
That it became its own kind of bad caricature, right?
Like Steve Irwin's persona.
Exactly.
R.I.P.
Exactly.
Jane Janeb, our oldest of friends, says Benedict Cumberbatch in Doctor Strange.
What?
I don't know. So actually, Debbie... our old friend Debbie Frangadakis says Benedict Cumberbatch in Doctor Strange.
Because he's doing an American accent.
She said she didn't realize till halfway through he was supposed to be American. It's not the best accent, I will say that. But I like the movie.
It didn't take me out of it, for sure.
Look, Greg Gierke, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Really? This is a thing?
I guess it's a thing.
Okay. I didn't know.
Hmm.
It is a little, it's a little like this. It's kind of a little like.
It's not great now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I just like him, and I enjoyed that movie, so I'm going to give it a pass.
I agree.
But yeah.
I agree.
You know who does a great American accent is Kate Winslet.
She's just great all around.
Yeah.
I'm always so impressed. There's so many British actors, especially in television,
who
I have no idea they're British until I see him doing an interview.
Right. I think a lot of people are always freaked out when you hear Christian Bale's real accent.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so, like, it's almost Cockney.
Almost Cockney British, yeah.
And everyone's like, whoa, because he rarely uses that in a movie.
Tom, the kid, the Spider-Man kid, Tom Holland, is that his name?
Sure.
Great American accent. He's British as hell, dude.
What?
He is British as hell.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
Yeah, that's one of those.
He's really, really, really good. Yeah.
Huh. I think Andrew Garfield, I didn't know for a while, too, was British.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's always a nice surprise.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Edward Hackett says... John Malkovich doing KGB and Rounders.
And yet they keep putting him in movies where he does that same accent.
He's not bad.
He is a Malkovich. He gets a pass.
Ian Cruz says Dennis Quaid in The Big Easy. I don't remember that having a bad accent necessarily, but Noel is working with Dennis Quaid on some podcast
in
stuff.
In some capacity, yes.
And we're trying to get him on Movie Crush.
How
great would that be?
It would be really great.
He's a true legend.
It'll happen for another time, not this coming up trip that you're doing, but it's had to get his PR folks involved. He's a busy man.
No, I get it. Amanda Dillinger, our old pal, says Matthew McConaughey in every movie ever.
Well, sure, but he's Matthew McConaughey.
Exactly.
That's how he sounds. He's fine.
Janet Adams Allman says everyone in The Departed. Boston people are very sensitive about their accents.
They are. I mean, what about, how do they feel about Good Will Hunting?
I don't know. Like, as outsiders, we hear this stuff and we just think, yeah, that's what people in Boston sound like.
Some of them do. Certainly not everyone on every street corner, but like.
I mean, Ben and Matt, those guys were from Boston.
They were.
Surely they were doing an accurate accent.
Doing an okay one, yeah.
You would think so, right?
For like Southies, isn't that what they call them?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did I make that up?
No. Okay. Southie.
It's like a thing.
Southie is a place.
Right.
If you're from Southie.
It's a neighborhood.
I don't know if you're called a Southie.
Oh, it's just called Southie.
Yeah, like you're from Southie.
Got it.
But you may be a Southie as well.
There you go.
Oh, there's so many people in Boston right now.
They're so mad. They're literally, they've just thrown their radio.
They've thrown their Dunkin' Donuts coffee onto their radio.
Onto their radio. They're also probably not listening on a radio. They could be.
Oh, they might. You never know.
Yeah.
Our old pal Parker Norris says Don Cheadle in Ocean's 11. I loved his accent.
It's adorable.
A lot of people are saying bad accent.
It's not good, but it's, again, that's a campy movie. That whole movie it's funny.
I love Don Cheadle so much.
We're in Bonnie, Rubble, Trouble.
Great. He's one of my faves, man.
Have you seen that show with him and Paul Scheer, Black Friday?
No.
It's like a stock market show. It's on Showtime. I think it takes place in the 80s.
I think I remember seeing a thing for
that. Yeah, Paul Scheer's in it and Don Cheadle's in it, and it's supposed to be good.
There's just too much out there, Noel.
I agree.
Aaron Carello Stepp says Natalie Portman in the Jackie O movie.
I mean,
Jackie O had a very effective, weird accent.
And I think she did a fine job.
I think I agree with you. Carl Suderberg says Fargo. And I live in northern Minnesota. I don't know, Carl.
You know, I think the problem is this, that wasn't really – they sort of took some liberties as far as the region, as far as the way people in Fargo would actually talk. They were more doing like a Minnesota accent kind of, you know, as opposed to a North Dakota accent, which would have been a little different, I think.
Sure, it's so different.
But it's also like – stylistic. It's meant to. They're doing.
I mean,
that.
The accents in that movie was almost a character.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah,
100%.
Agreed. Let me see here. Becca Liu, our old pal, says Mel Gibson's horrible excuse for Scottish in Braveheart. Okay. Our old buddy Jimmy Kuykendall says Leo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond. I never saw that. Did he do like a South African? I think he
probably. Yeah, I didn't see that one. It seemed really depressing.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. Our oldest of friends, Gail Kuntz, The Danger Oven, says Robert De Niro in the Cape Fear remake, definitely not the worst, but it's a mind fuck. And she mentions Leo's Blood Diamonds as well.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, it's certainly not a realistic Southern accent, but it was, again, I think sometimes there's just these over-the-top, you know, counselor.
Right.
No one talks like that.
Well, I mean, what about Leo's accent in Django Unchained? I mean, that was super over the top, but it was great.
Where's my beautiful sister?
Exactly. But it's
remember
great.
How creepy that
He's kind of doing a Foghorn Leghorn kind of voice,
he totally
you know?
Was.
But it works. It works. Yeah. And I want to say again how excited I am for the new Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm really stoked about that.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new poster?
No.
It's great.
I bet it is.
It's very old school, as it should be. Our pal Diana Morell says Prince Caspian and Prince Caspian. I couldn't even finish the movie. I didn't watch those, which is weird because I did not read the Lord of the Rings books, yet I watched those terrible overlong films. I did read and love the Chronicles of Narnia, but I did not see those movies at all. I don't know why.
I did not enjoy them.
I don't think they were supposed to be very good, right?
I kind of stopped. I watched the first one, mm-hmm. and I believe I watched the second one, but I remember distinctly falling asleep during the second one, and then I did not bother seeing the rest of them.
Yeah. Our old pal Jack Colin Ciron says, Bradley Cooper in A Star is Born and American Hustle. Well, I think you either buy Bradley Cooper in that movie or you don't, and that affects how you enjoy that film. I bought it. I liked it.
You liked it?
I did. I thought it was – yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I really liked the music.
Yeah,
I like that song, Shallow, is awesome, and it gets stuck in my head.
Great song.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like the movie, though?
I didn't see it.
Oh.
I didn't see it.
Gotcha.
Not for any reason in particular. I just didn't see it.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's a lot better than the Christopherson Streisand.
Yeah.
Everyone like puts that movie on some pedestal. Emily and I watched it after the other one.
Uh-huh.
It's not very good.
Got it.
It's really not a very good movie. I mean, it's okay, but no.
This Once Upon a Time in Hollywood poster is fantastic, by the way.
Oh, did you bring it up?
I just brought it up.
Pretty sweet, huh?
Really, really cool.
Yeah. We might have to get one of those for the studio, Noel.
They're really nice.
Brett Etherington, any non-Australian, okay. And some angry Aussies, although he put a smiley face. He's not angry. Absalom Bittner. Wow, what a great name. Really love Jennifer Lawrence, but her accent in Red Sparrow is awful. I saw Red Sparrow.
Yeah. It's the one where she's like a spy, right?
Yeah, it was
she
okay.
She goes to spy school.
It definitely wasn't a great accent. And
right.
Maybe it's just kind of hard to buy Jennifer Lawrence as like a Russian agent.
Is it a Russian thing?
I think it was.
I think you're right.
I saw it. It was okay. Not great. Not a waste of time. Matt Hurt says Quentin Tarantino in Django. Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh. He's Australian, right? Isn't he a fake Australian?
Oh.
It's real bad.
In real life.
And in that movie, it's a real bad. It's
really
case in
bad.
Point, like we were talking about earlier. Uh-huh. There's an example right there. I'd forgotten about that.
Another vote for Teddy KGB and Rounders from Jeff Johansson. Mark Palumbo, Kevin Carson, and Robin Hood.
Yeah, that I can't believe that one hadn't come up yet.
Long been mentioned, and I think one of the biggest problems with the Costner one, it was just not consistent. He was all over the place.
Is that what it was? Because I felt like he just didn't even try. But he does try sometimes, and then he goes
away.
Yeah,
he will go into it, then come out of it, and it was just not good.
Very distracting, yeah.
Some things he would just say, sometimes very properly. I guess that was sort of British.
Robin of Locksley.
Another vote for De Niro in Cape Fear from Abby Campsey. Gary Stange says Dr. Strange. Or Gary Stange. I'm going to say Stange. All right, let's finish this up with Allison Couch, Dick Van Dyke, and Mary Poppins. All right, actually, here, let's do one more. Aaron Dernan confirms. Tom Cruise in Far and Away, hands down, no question. All the others mentioned here, pretty terrible, but Tom Cruise takes the cake.
And I kind of wonder if he got so shit on for that that he decided to never do another accent again.
That would be a very Cruisy thing to do.
It would, wouldn't
to
it?
Just, I cannot know, go stand clear criticism. On that
exactly.
accent.
If there you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Clear it right on out.
He holds those cans and they say, don't do another accent. Why put yourself through it? All right, Noel, we're going to move on and do a little more TV theme songing because that was a very fun segment and it gives us a chance to sing her again.
I agree. I enjoy that.
And we'll start off with John Taylor Wesley with Phineas and Ferb. I do not know that. Do you?
There's 104 days of summer vacation and school comes along just to end it. And the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
By the way, you got a lot of loves on our page for
Muppet Babies.
That's a happy song.
It's a great song.
People like hearing that.
It's a really good song. Phineas and Ferb's a great show. It's a kid's show. It's on Disney or whatever, but it's like it's really smart.
Sure.
The whole deal is like it's summer vacation. Every episode they got like, what are we gonna do today? And like they do some crazy shit. And like the theme song it goes, it's like maybe building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower.
I love it.
It's really good.
Love that stuff. Alexander Toynman says that 70s show. For sure.
Is that the Who?
No. Well, it's Cheap Trick.
Oh, it's Cheap Trick
on the show
doing
a cover of Big Star, the song "In the Streets."
That's right.
Hanging out.
Yep.
Big Star. I mean, I love Cheap Trick. Trust me, it was my first concert ever. But the Big Star version is great.
They're one of those bands that people just adore. That I don't know well enough, and I need to like get into Big Star. Yeah.
Yeah. They very highly influential, ahead of their time Memphis band, like everyone from REM to. I mean, you
Wilco
name it.
And stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
like
talk about Big Star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Another vote for Golden Girls from Tina Wright, the great Carole King song. let me see here. Okay, our old pal Tyler Minky says, not a theme song, but the Law and Order. Dun-dun.
You know, we co-opted that in my show Ridiculous History with Ben Bolin.
Oh, yeah?
Casey Pegram, who is a recurring fixture on this show, does a thing where he'll pipe in and, like, answer a question for us, and we call it Casey on the Case, and then we play that sound.
Do you really? The
and
real
we,
sound?
Yeah, and we actually have T-shirts made, Casey on the Case T-shirts, with a picture of Casey during his child modeling days in a JCPenney photo shoot.
Oh, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
What?
I'll show it to you. It's right there on his desk out there.
Casey was a child model?
For JCPenney.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck do I not know this?
You know, the more you know, Chuck.
I've worked with Casey how long? For like 5 years?
He plays it real close to the vest. We had to kind of pull it out of him. But
yeah, oh, wow.
He didn't just drop this on us apropos of nothing, you know?
I know what I'm doing right after we record this.
Mm-hmm.
Casey's got that cute – I bet he had the cutest little baby face.
I'll show you the shirt.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's
I
a great
totally
picture.
See that.
It's a great shirt.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to get one of those.
If anyone wants one, you can go to tpublic.com/ridiculous history.
Hey, there you go.
Buy a shirt.
We got some Movie Crush merch, too.
Exactly.
I mean,
we should pitch that more often. We never say it on the show. I think we would probably sell more stuff if we mentioned it on the show.
Yeah, we got a few shirts.
Yeah. I know. I have all of them.
Do you?
I do.
I don't have one.
Well, they just put them on my desk.
Yeah, no one put anything on my desk.
Well, what are you talking about? Your desk is covered in swag.
Well, no, I'm not complaining. Trust me. I get stuff all the time, but I didn't get my own shirts. That's all right. I'll buy them.
All right.
Gabriel Naranjo says Adventure Time theme song.
Wonderful. Wonderful show.
Another good one?
Oh, yeah. It's really short, too. It's just Adventure Time. Come on, grab your friends. We'll go to very distant lands. With Jake the dog and Finn the human, the fun will never end. It's Adventure Time.
That's so cute. It's and the whole of course, song. Parents know all these things by heart. Mm-hmm. Like when I was singing the PJ Mask, just because you hear that shit over and over. It's amazing a child's ability to rewatch the same thing. I think we all have it, though. George Anderson says, cheers. All-time favorite with lyrics. Making your way in the world today, Noel, takes everything you got.
Wait. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Dun, dun, dun. And they're always glad you came. Dun, dun, dun. You want to know where people know where troubles are all the same. We want to go where everybody know. Dun, digga, digga, dun, dun. Bound, digga, digga, dun, dun. And cheers.
That's how it ends.
Yeah.
Except it's like 100 people in a chorus.
Exactly.
And cheers.
Exactly.
That's really funny. Chloe Barry Porter says, although I'm a serious Xena warrior princess girl at heart, I'd probably say my favorite TV theme is Alias. Yeah, Alias had a good theme. I don't know the theme to Xena Warrior Princess.
I don't either.
I never watched that show.
Never did either.
It looked great, though.
Oh, I've heard nothing but good things. People really dig it.
Lucy Lawless. What's she doing?
Great name. Has to be a stage name.
I don't know. Lawless is a name.
Lucy Lawless. That just sounds like a badass name.
Like right Blackie Lawless.
Totally.
From,
exactly.
Was he in Wasp? Let me see here. West Wing theme gives me that proud to be an American feeling. That's from Holly Slange. I didn't watch the West Wing.
It's that Aaron Sorkin rapid fire walk and talk
dialogue. It's not my thing.
Yeah, no, it's not your thing. No.
No.
It's clever, but it's maybe a little too clever for its own good sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. My whole deal with Aaron Sorkin is just like it's so far out of the realm of how people really talk to one another that I just can't buy it.
That's fair.
I like some of his stuff. I like that Facebook movie. He wrote that, right?
Yeah, he did. It was good.
Sammy Delco says, and we had this the last time, the Fall Guy theme, and I couldn't remember what it was. The Unknown Stuntman. I remember that now. I might fall from a tall building. I might crash a brand new car. Because I'm the unknown stuntman that made some a star.
What is this from?
The Lee Majors, The Fall Guy.
The Fall Guy.
He was a stuntman. Like, what was he? Was he a detective? I mean, he was a stunt. It was one of those deals, stuntman by day. But I don't remember if he was like a detective. Oh, a bounty hunter at night. That's what he was.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah. I have to check this out. This sounds like fun.
Well, you know, if you like 80s shows.
Yeah, but it's like a Hollywood set thing. I like that. I like the whole Hollywood detective-y vice kind of vibe.
I'm right there with you all the way.
It's a lot of fun.
I love it. Joshua Hall says, True Detective Season 1.
Absolutely. The Handsome Family.
Everything about that. Oh, is that who that was?
Mm-hmm.
What song was it?
It's, I don't remember the name of it, but it's...
It's not the one that I sing with Hodgman at his live shows, is it?
It's called Far From Any Road.
Oh, no. Hodgman has me do sometimes. He does it live. And when he was in Atlanta last time, I played guitar and sang with him another Handsome Family song.
They're
great. I can't remember the name.
They're cool.
Yeah, they are good. Let me see. Anthony Noor says, it's Gary Shandling's show. Wins hands down. Oh, that's right. That was the one that was, this is the theme to Gary's show, the theme to Gary's show. Gary called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. I'm almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far?
It's pretty good.
Man, he was one of the greats. Christy Boudreaux Hutchings goes in a slightly different direction with Jeopardy. That's a TV theme song.
Yeah. Great melody. Iconic.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic. You know, our old pal Ken Jennings, not sure if you were following, but that guy was catching up to him.
Yep.
And he fell just short by about
just
50
short.
Grand.
Oh, 50 grand.
$58,000 short, which is, you know, very close.
I think
like an episode or two.
Totally. I think the interesting thing, though, between those two guys is like Ken won that amount of money. But he was on like twice as many episodes.
Yeah, I think he like 77.
Yeah, and this dude like was this crazy, like, Vegas-style better, where he, like, knew all the game theory and stuff, and I think he was on, like, half that many.
I just, you know, hung out with Ken this past weekend at Max Fun and talked to him about that, and I was like, hey, way to go, man. And he was like, everyone keeps saying that I didn't do anything. I was like, I know you didn't do anything. I said, but, like, as your friend, like, I didn't want your record to be broken.
Yeah.
And I said, and even if he did break the money record, I was like, the Ruthian record here is you're 77 straight.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't think that'll ever be broken.
Yeah. It's pretty epic.
And Ken didn't want to fully admit it, but I think he was pleased. He was glad to hang on to those two.
For sure.
Well, you know, you don't want to see someone break your record.
No.
Athletes are always great about it, and they're like, well, you know, if it had to be anybody, records are meant to be broken. Every single athlete wants their record to remain for all time.
Of course they do.
Athletes are liars, everyone. They really are. Karma Hamedi says, The Wire and Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders is just Red Right Hand by Nick Cave.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know that song.
It's a great
song. I've heard that show's really good.
Oh, it's good, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
You know Red Right Hand.
It's
Yeah.
Red, red hand.
Yeah, that's
Isn't that it?
No, it's like, with a dusty black coat and his red right hand. It's got the big bell. Dong, bang, bang, bang,
boom, do, 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 do. Which is funny because I think if you did a science experiment and found the exact opposite of a Nick Cave song, it would probably be Red, Red Wine.
Exactly. That's very true.
Our old pal, Don M. Lozano, says, anyone remember the show Making It? Well, I certainly do because that show and its theme song was sung by David Naughton of An American Werewolf in London.
Making it.
Yeah. Huh. Very 70s.
What is making it?
I'm making it. Next time in life, I'm taking it.
Disco.
Come on. Come on. Oh, very disco. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I love it.
Let me
What's the show about?
I don't remember. Probably a bunch of boys trying to make it with girls.
Make it with girls. Or maybe it's about
making
it.
That's what every show was about back then.
Making it in Hollywood. Making it.
Oh.
Becoming a star?
Perhaps, Noel. Maybe it wasn't sexual.
I mean, I'm sure there was some elements of, you know, hanky-panky in there somewhere.
David Fleming says a few shows, but he says WKRP in Cincinnati. It's funny. The other day, little inside story here, I started singing WKRP, and Emily fully sang the whole song, and I was like, wait a minute. I know my wife pretty well, and I did not know that she was such a fan of WKRP in Cincinnati that she would know that song. And I was like, how do you know that? And she went, show choir. I was like, whoa, back that up. They did, in her show choir in high school, Noel, they did a TV theme song bit where they just did a big medley of TV theme songs and danced along with it with jazz hands and such.
Nice. Making It only aired for 9 episodes.
That feels about right.
Yeah.
The song was a pretty big hit, though.
It was a Gary Marshall show.
Oh, interesting.
Uh-huh.
Our friend Kyle Bowen says Venture Brothers or Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, they're great. Both great.
Yep.
Venture Brothers is done, a lot of music for that show and that theme is done by the artist whose name is something, oh gosh, J.G. Thirlwell, and he goes by Fetus. He has like a sort of like an industrial weird like thing. Like he's been doing it since like the late 80s and early 90s. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a weird kind of techno-industrial guy. Really, really interesting dude.
Well, I will say that Fetus is one of the great stage names.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed.
Really mad that was taken. Be my hotel name, too.
That's a good one. I need one of those, except no one cares.
All right, let's finish this up, Noel, with Anne-Marie Bermudez Medina. Great name. She says friends, and you must clap. I will say this, Anne-Marie. I'm not ashamed to admit that I have clapped before, and while I may not clap full now, when I do watch a Friends and I do hear that, it is hard not to at least tap or do a little something.
You're talking about...
Yeah, it's really hard not to do a little something with your body to indicate the clap.
Remember that song when it was like had a video? Was it what were they called? The Rembrandts. The Rembrandts did that song.
I was shooting a TV commercial. There's this set in L.A. They shot a lot of Desperate Housewives here. It's just like a suburbia with like a couple of streets and cul-de-sacs and a bunch of fake houses.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big fountain in front of them. And I was shooting there one day, a Christmas commercial, because the only reason I remember that is because we covered everything with snow, which is kind of the fun thing, everyone. The magic of commercials. When you see a Christmas commercial in the snow, it's probably shot in Los Angeles in the summertime. But someone looked at the fountain or told me about the fountain and said, there it is. I was like, what are you talking about? And just did the clap. And I went, no way.
Oh,
that's
snap.
The fucking fountain.
Mm.
Right there.
That's awesome.
On a back lot at Warner Brothers Studios.
Oh, my God. Speaking of which, dude, did you hear about that fire that hit Universal in 2008 and only just now reported that, like, 500,000 irreplaceable master tapes of, like, classic albums were, like, just annihilated?
I did not know that.
It was like, so Universal Music Group owns everything from like Decca to like Blue Note, all these classic jazz labels, and you know, and also like Geffen. So they own like Nirvana and Sonic Youth, and like all of this stuff was destroyed, and they didn't report it.
Wow.
The New York Times
Shame?
I think so, or embarrassment, or I wonder if they even told the artists.
Boy, that's rough.
But New York Times just came out with a big expose where like they listed everything, and it was 500,000 master tapes.
Wow. And the master is what you use if you ever want to go back and dig in and reissue or whatever.
REM, gone.
Man.
Really sad.
Luckily, I think REM has reissued most of theirs.
I think so, too.
But that is a true loss. That sucks. Quit smoking at work, everyone.
Seriously.
All right, Noel, we're going to finish up with a few questions from the comment card box. This comes from Farouk Barakat. Great name. Do you guys have any plans to use movies as teaching material to your daughters in the future? If so, which ones, Noel, have you already done this with your daughter to teach?
I mean, one that comes to mind was Inside Out because it's so –
It's funny you mentioned that. I have not yet watched that with Ruby, but it's on the list.
It's fantastic. She's probably a little too young to really get the full impact of it because it's really about like – mental health and like managing your emotions and stuff.
You know? She'd get it.
You think so?
Not she wouldn't know to call it mental health. She would understand like it's all about feelings
That's
and stuff.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
It was a big deal for me to watch that with Eden, and I think it really was a good teachable kind of moment.
Yeah. That's for one for sure. Obviously the Disney and Pixar films have long, especially Disney, been used and maybe this is one of their purposes. I've heard that they've made these movies to help teach kids about death. Because almost invariably in one of these Disney films, someone dies at some point. And that might be a good way to introduce your kids to that concept. You know,
I agree.
It's sad.
It is.
But
life's got ups and downs. You know,
you might want to see Simba. Not Simba. Who died in The Lion King? Simba's dad?
Mufasa.
You might want to see Mufasa go before you see grandma or granddad go.
100%. And then you understand.
Or your dog or your cat.
Life, death is a part of life. You know?
Yeah. So it can be a way in.
I agree.
But what you got to do, folks, you got to have the longer discussions. You can't let the movie do your job for you as a parent.
Agreed.
All right. Great question, Farouk. Great name. I wish I was Farouk.
It's a good name.
Kyle Peterson says this, what movie world or universe would you like to live in? Well.
I feel like we've had this one before, but I think it could change. There's so many possibilities.
I don't know if I've – have we had this?
Maybe maybe it's just parallel thinking because it's an interesting question.
I think I would pick – I've always been, especially as a kid, into things like Swiss Family Robinson and Mosquito Coast.
Oh, cool.
Treehouses and utopias, little utopian worlds that you
Desert
build
island
yourself.
Kind of paradise.
In a jungle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I love that stuff. And when I was a kid, boy, that really got me going.
That would be cool. Wasn't there a Swiss Family Robinson ride or area at Disney?
It was a big tree.
That was really cool with a big tree.
That's
right. Yeah, that was really fascinating to me,
that was really a big deal to me.
I agree.
What about you? What I mean, besides Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings.
Oh, obviously Harry Potter.
Or just random psychedelic world.
I just want to go to Hogwarts and trip on those chocolate frogs, baby. Psychedelic Hogwarts. That's the life for me.
That's probably a band.
Uh-huh. Psychedelic Hogwarts?
Yeah. What can you think of one?
I just told you, dude. Psychedelic
for real?
No, I don't know, man. I mean, some kind of weird, cool future world might be fun, you know, like Blade Runner, but less dystopian. Or like, speaking of which, our buddy Daniela Ferlito, right?
Uh-huh.
He hit me up on Facebook, and we're friends now.
Oh,
and
nice.
He was really nice, and he's got a Blade Runner podcast that he does.
Oh, okay. Was he the one? He was the one dropping the Blade Runner knowledge, right?
He dropped
about
the Blade
the
Runner knowledge.
Versions.
Yeah, and he's got a Blade Runner podcast.
Well, let's shout that out.
That is called Beyond
the Blade Cast.
It's called Shoulder of Orion.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, it's called Shoulder of Orion, and he interviews like the sound designer Mark Mangini, like from 2049.
Wow,
he's interviewed like all these key
that's
like
really
Blade
cool.
Runner people, and it's a really cool show.
All right, I'm gonna have to check that out.
Recommend it highly.
Good for you, sir.
That's great.
You know, Jana Barney has this question because she plays the MASH game on her JB Club podcast, which I've been a guest on, and it is wonderful, and Janet is the best. You know what Janet did? She made me perform with her improv group at Max FunCon this
past weekend. How'd you do?
Well, I was the guest monologuist. Uh-huh. So what I do is I get up on stage, they shout out something, and I give a monologue about my life from a suggestion from the audience. And then after 2 or 3 minutes, I finish up, and then the players – the Work Juice players get up and they improv off that story, sort of like ASCAT that UCB does. And Noel, I was scared to do it, but Janet, and I told her that night, she is someone who is a good friend who has pushed me to do things in my career that I didn't think I could do, and then she helps me do them.
That's awesome,
man. And like is such – so mommies me through the experience, and I always come out of a Janet Varney experience like better.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that.
That's really cool, dude. I've always wanted to kind of take an improv class, but I'm a little intimidated. But I realize that so much of what we do on the podcast is kind of like that.
Well, sure,
it's all about just quick back and forth and yes anding and all that. Yeah. I think I would really enjoy it and possibly be okay at it, but I haven't done it yet.
I want to do that too. And I've always said just because I don't want to be an improv performer. I just think it helps. It could only help us
exactly.
in our jobs.
I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to take like one of the low-level courses at this place locally called Dad's Garage that does
You going to do that?
I think I might do it.
All right, Noel. I'm
going to look into it.
Depends on when the classes are. They can't disrupt my lifestyle.
I know, dude. I know.
All right. We're going to finish up, everybody, with Duncan Creamer, who says, who should play Trump in the inevitable biopic? Well.
Wow.
I couldn't bring myself to think about this, Noel. So what I did.
I think we should just do him with CGI.
Was just get some leftover from a Dr. Seuss movie.
Exactly. And, like the Lorax. Yeah.
So I found an Esquire article, who should star in the Fire and Fury TV series. Apparently that's getting a TV adaptation. And I got to say, they did a pretty good job of casting. And so I'm just going to read through what Emma Dibden says on Esquire. She has Martin Sheen down as Trump.
I could see that.
He's already played a president, though. So he may not be willing to tread in those waters.
Maybe.
And he's a famous lib.
Yeah.
Who would want to play Trump? Unless it's, you know, like, oh, I get to, like, Alec Baldwin it.
Totally.
And make him look like a chump.
I mean, he doesn't need any help with that. Just play it straight.
He won't be the hero. That's for sure. Interesting. Martin Sheen. All right. They have Liz Hurley down for Melania Trump. Not bad.
No, that is good.
And I got to say, in these pictures, you see what they've done? They found pictures where they look a lot alike and are dressed sort of alike and did a little side-by-side. So check it out at Esquire.com. They have, for Ivanka, they have Katherine Heigl.
Yes.
I mean, look at that.
Yes.
Not bad.
Very good.
Close. And that's what you want is an approximation. For Jared Kushner, they have, what's his face? That Miles Teller guy.
Miles Teller. Which one is he?
He's from, the drum movie,
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
That's the drum movie.
Drumline?
No.
Drum? Whiplash. Whiplash. Yeah, of course.
He doesn't look so much like him, but he's a good actor. They have Will Arnett down for Trump Jr.
Of course. That would be great. He's a little too old.
He is too old.
Yeah.
They have a guy named, he's from Mr. Robot, the villain Martin Wallstrom for Eric Trump.
Mm, not super familiar with him.
I sort of know that face. That's clearly he's punching up or punching down for Eric Trump. Eric Trump should be happy with that casting. They have Steve Martin as Mike Pence. I could see that.
I found another list on a
look at Bob Odenkirk playing Sean Spicer.
Oh yes,
that would be pretty good.
I think you just get Melissa McCarthy to do it. She did it so well on SNL.
But here, let me go through these last two.
Yeah, of course.
We have Laura Dern as Kellyanne Conway. Not bad. Laura Dern is much, much prettier, but close enough. They have that's not bad. Bobby Cannavale as Scaramucci.
Will you do the Fandango?
That totally works.
Yeah.
And then finally, they have our old pal from the show, Casey Wilson, who did our Clue episode. As Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
That's pretty good, too. Yeah.
It's close. Wow. Oh, wait. There is one more. Steve Bannon. Holy shit. Who is that guy? Michael Harney. Oh, right.
Yep.
From Orange is the New Black.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. No, he's on this list that I've got here, too.
Yeah.
A lot of them are different, but that one is the same.
That's pretty spot on.
Really good.
And then they have Glee's Matthew Morrison as Paul Ryan and James Cromwell as Robert Mueller. And then David Cross as Michael Wolff, the journalist.
Oh, man. That's pretty good.
So who do you got for the key players?
Those are all great. There's a couple of interesting ones on this list. Let's see. Steve Miller, you know, the kind of weird neo-Nazi advisor to Trump.
Oh, yeah. Steve Miller.
Bald guy. Yeah. Total dick. Zach Braff as Stephen Miller. That'd be fun.
They don't look anything alike, though.
Well,
is that someone just hates Zach Braff?
No, I mean, no. And that's the thing. You look at them side by side, and you gave Zach Braff like a bald spot. I think it could work. I think it could work. And for Anthony Scaramucci, John Hamm. That's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, John Hamm's way too handsome for Scaramucci.
He's a little too handsome, I think you're
Bobby
right.
Bobby Cannavale's handsome, too, but John Hamm, come on.
I know. He's got a real...
they had Meryl Streep down for Hillary. That was the last
charisma.
One.
Charisma. Chaz Palminteri as Paul Manafort. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Your list was better. I'm going to move on.
You think?
This is really interesting. I can't wait. I mean, obviously, there's going to be more than a TV series. It's going to be like...
Yeah.
It's rife.
Boy, that's Steve Bannon. That is really...
That one's good. That one's really good.
Yeah. Hope Hicks. I forgot about her. Allison Williams. Yeah, I could see that.
Now, there is a thing that's already coming out where Kellyanne Conway is portrayed by, I want to say, like...
Oh, is it the movie about, not Rupert Murdoch, but the other guy? Because there is a biopic about him where Russell Crowe is playing him.
That might well be it. I want to say that Nicole Kidman is in it.
Russell Crowe is playing Roger Ailes in The Loudest Voice. And boy, he really put on a lot of weight for this one.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to have to rescind what I said. I want to say, who was the – there was the commentator that was like the female anchor that, you know, Trump said was coming out of her ears or whatever.
I don't remember.
Remember? She was like – she did a –
I think I know who you're talking about.
That
she left Fox News.
She left Fox News. Yeah, I think she is portrayed.
Blonde hair.
Yes.
What's her name? Yeah, she did some of the debates. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yep.
She's played by Michelle Pfeiffer, I think.
Oh, I could see that. Good likeness.
Indeed.
I like seeing Michelle Pfeiffer in movies again. Seems like she took a break for a minute. All right, you got anything else?
Not really, man. This has been a good one.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will be in your ear holes again next Monday.
See you then.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.